There's got to be more than just this world, this earth, right? Yes. There's got to be more than just this life. The Bible talks about it all the time, that there's a life to come. So are you living for eternity now? You see, to be raised with him is to live for him. I live for Christ, not myself. Yeah. Not my old life. Not the way I used to do things. Not the way I used to think. Not in my old gossip and anger and hatred. But now I live for him who brought me from death and gave me life and raised me up to newness of life to walk in after him. If you are our guest today, my name is Zach. I'm the lead pastor here, and I have been gone for a couple weeks. I'd like to welcome myself back here. Some of you forgot who I was. As some of you know, I was in Japan for a week. My wife was there for 3 weeks. My son and daughter-in-law are missionaries there, and we went there to see our new grandbaby, Olive. And that was pretty cool. We got to see her. And they have two children now, Arabella, who's just a little over one, and Olive, who's just a couple weeks old. And the good news is that Arabella would not leave my side. Whenever, well, Laura likes to be called grandmother. I, because I'm an antagonistic husband, call her Gam Gam, which she hates. And every time Laura would try to hold Arabella's hand, she would push it away only to hold my hand. She wanted to be with me everywhere and hold my hand and sit on my lap and wanted me to play with her toys. And she didn't want anything to do with grandmother. And she didn't want anything to do with her, and she wanted me. And Laura was exasperated at this whole thing. She's like, I just don't understand. Why? Why does she love you? Why does she love you more than me? Why? I don't understand. And I'm like, Laura, why is it such a surprise to you that people love me? I'm a lovable guy. She goes, why does she love me? That deserves an applause. Go ahead. That's all right. Fine. Why? I don't understand. Because I'm lovable. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you love your new life in Christ more than your old life? Yes. Think about it for a second. Do you love your new life in Christ more than your old life? See, the problem I find sometimes, I'm getting a little feedback, guys. Sometimes I feel like when we have a relationship with Jesus, we still kind of hang on to a lot of our old life. Let me put it to you this way. It's like we have Jesus, and we're trying to have a full-blown relationship with him, like a very intimate, personal, close, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. You follow me so far? But we're dating our old life on the side. That doesn't make for a healthy relationship. How many know that's true? Some of you, that might be a shock to you. You're like, wait, you can't do that? No, you can't. It's a terrible relationship. We love Jesus, but we're dating our old life on the side. Yeah. I still want all the perks and the pluses of, you know, the relationship with all the benefits that come with Jesus, but I still want to do all the fun things that I have that I still want to hang on to that are like, Jesus is fine with that. He'll be okay if I just do these things. It's all right. Today we're in a series called In Blank We Trust. If you were to fill that in, what would you say? In what are you putting your trust? For some of us, we would say this, in my old life I trust. In my old life, I'm still putting all my happiness and my peace and my joy. I know Jesus here, but I'm still kind of living in, you know, we're still, you know, hanging out on the weekends, me and my old life. That shouldn't be the way for the Christian. The way of the Christian is to be different than that, because there's a new life that comes in Jesus Christ. How many know that's true? Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says about it. It says, if anyone is in Christ, and I hope that's you, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. that a new life in Jesus Christ has started once you've come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, as your intimate friend, as your Lord, he's your Lord and Savior. A new life has come. Not the old life, a new. Everyone say new. A new life has come. Yeah. A new life. As we think about this morning, our new life, what does a new life in Christ look like? What does it look like for you and for me to live a new life? And the Bible talks about it a lot throughout Scripture, about what our new life in Christ should look like. Is it lived out on a daily basis? What does it mean for my right now, my tomorrow, and my eternity? What does it mean in the way I make decisions and how I do my business and how I have relationships and the way I think and the way I act and the way I talk? What does it mean, this new life in Christ? Well, the Bible talks about it a lot. We're going to focus on one little passage today, and it's in Colossians chapter 3. Here's what it says. It says, since then you have been raised. Everyone say raised. Raised. Pay attention how much Jesus has to do with all the verses we're going to talk about today. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not my old life, on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, not on my past life, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. There's a lot that we can talk about in this passage, and we're going to answer this question, what does it look like for you and for me if we're going to live this new life in Christ Jesus? How does that play out? Well, the first thing that we notice is this, that we died with Christ. We died with him. We died with him. Do you know how to kill a vegetarian? Some of you are very interested in the answer to this. Sadistically so. You're like, please, I have been wanting to know. And it's not feed them meat. The way you kill a vegetarian is you take them to Japan. Because in Japan, everything has meat. You might as well starve. My wife, Laura, is a vegetarian, for those that don't know, and she was there for 3 weeks, and I had to go down and rescue her because she was too weak to come home by herself. Now, I have a broad palate for food. I like a lot of different food, especially Asian food. So I'm eating this food like, oh, this is so good. And she's like dying of malnutrition. You need to recognize, and I need to recognize, that when we come to Christ, we die with Christ. See, Jesus died for our sins, right? And to die with Christ is to die to sin. Jesus died on the cross as our substitution. He took our place on the cross. He took your place on the cross. And because he took our place, we now find he's not just our substitution, he's our identification. We identify with him as our Savior because now our old life is dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. So stop dating it. Here's what Galatians says. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Which self? Come on, church. You're alive in Christ. Remember that? Which self has been crucified? You're old. Your old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I died with Christ and now I started a new life in him. He didn't just bear the penalty for my sin on the cross, but he made a way for me to die to that old person, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he freed sin's hold on me so that I might have a new life in him. As we look at this, what does it mean to live a new life in Christ? It means not only do we die with him, but we are alive with Christ. How many are thankful that God didn't leave you dead? That you got to start a new life in him. That we're alive with Christ. There was once these two sisters who loved going to raves and wild parties and do the drugs and do the alcohol and sleep around and had all kinds of crazy events in their lives. And then one day somebody had the courage to invite them to church. and they came to church and they gave their lives to Jesus. And their lives were radically changed. A couple of months go by and they kind of were adjusting to this new life in Christ. And they got an invitation, little text message, if you will, and said, "Hey, do you want to come to this rave tomorrow night?" And they texted the two sisters, "We're going to have a great party. It's going to be a great time. We're just going to get so plastered." And they texted back, "We regret to inform you we cannot come because we recently died." Their old life was dead. That wasn't who they were anymore. They had a new life, right? And they were alive now in Christ, not to the things of the world, but they were alive with Christ. 1 John 5:12 says, "Whoever has the Son has what, church?
Life."
Like you're alive, has what?
Life.
Life. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yeah. If you have Jesus, you have life. You've been given life by Him. Yes. Not your old life, but a new life, a fresh, satisfying life in Jesus Christ. What a great privilege. What an honor. Eternal life comes from Him, this new life. What brings you to life? To be a Christian means to be dead and alive at the same time. I'm dead to my old life and to sin, and I'm alive now in Jesus Christ. You should constantly remind yourself when the old life keeps knocking on the door saying, "Hey, you want to hang out?" "No, no, no, you're dead to me. I'm alive in Christ." What brings you to life? What makes you alive? I remember at a pastor's conference some time ago, I was sitting around the table, and I had not met any of these pastors yet. We were kind of all building relationships, and it was like a coaching training thing I was involved in, and pastor next to me, and I turned to him, I said, "So what do you do for fun?" And he said, hold on, I can't say it out loud. I did great the first two services. He said, "I make sourdough." Woo! Calm down, everybody. He said, "I make sourdough." Now, no dig on anybody who makes sourdough. That's great. You do you. So I make sourdough. And then he's got this little twinkle in his eye and got super excited. And he starts talking about all the blogs he reads and all the people he follows on Instagram who make sourdough and how to correctly, you know, get the yeast to rise and everything. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm engaging like I'm interested. And in my head, I'm thinking, man, I sat at the wrong table. Then he turns to me and says, "What do you do for fun?" And I was like, "Well, I don't make sourdough." I said, "I hunt and I fish and I golf and I hang out and I barbecue." And he's like, "Oh, I just make sourdough." Whatever, he was super excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
What makes you come to life?
Yeah.
Think about this for a second.
Yeah.
For some of you, it's your hobby, it's your sports team. You're like, "Yes! The Raiders, oh!" You know, you could stand here in church and be like, "Christ is my firm foundation." And then you're like, "The Raiders, man! Your sports team is so awesome, you think when Jesus comes, your sports team is coming with Him." That's how alive you are about it. Now, maybe for you, it's sourdough. It's your work. It's your bank account. You're like, "Yeah, man." You stand in worship, you know, God, "I won't be gone." And then you talk about your thing, and you are pumped. What makes you come alive? If anything should make you come alive, it's Jesus. Talking about the things of Jesus, serving Jesus, knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus, because He's the one who brought you from death to life. And He gave us life in our bodies. Paul told the church in Philippians, he said, "For to me, to live is Christ." My whole life revolves around this thing, Jesus. That's my life. That's my life. So what does it mean when we say, "In my new life in Christ, I trust"? Well, it also means that we are raised with Christ. We're raised with Christ. See, He didn't leave us dead. He gave us new life, and He didn't leave us in the tomb. He actually brought us and raised us to life. Yeah. This last week, we had First Wednesday service, and we had a Thanksgiving theme, and we had a packed house, I'm just telling you right now. And I was really proud of the church. You know, other pastors are proud of the church, their churches, because they're like, oh man, you witnessed, you did a great job. I was really proud of you because we had a great spread of food. I mean, it was awesome. One of the guys in the church came up and said, Pastor, is gluttony a sin? I said, not tonight, my son, go in peace. It was awesome. Well, part of the service, we had people come up and say things that they were thankful for. And so as they're talking, you know what the constant theme was? Besides the little kids who were thankful for their parents' like car or something. But the main theme was, I was once this way, but now I'm alive in Christ. I once used to live this way, and now I live this way. And that's the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. I once walked in darkness, and now I live in God's marvelous light. Yeah. And that's the beauty of following Jesus. Yeah. That we say, hey, I've been raised with Christ. Romans 6:4 says this, for we died. We did what? We died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. I have a new life in Christ. And what a blessing it is to have one. So the question I have to ask you this morning is this: what life are you living? You see, a new life is not just in the receiving, it's in the doing. Yeah. It must be lived out. It must be something that we say, hey, man, I'm following after Jesus, and I'm living a new life. What are you living for? Yeah. There's got to be more than just this world, this earth, right? Yeah. There's got to be more than just this life. The Bible talks about it all the time, that there's a life to come. So are you living for eternity now? You see, to be raised with him is to live for him. I live for Christ, not myself. Not my old life. Not the way I used to do things. Not the way I used to think. Not in my old gossip and anger and hatred. But now I live for him, who brought me from death and gave me life and raised me up to newness of life to walk in after him. It's not just in the receiving, it's in the doing. A lot of people know here. You see, Jesus said when he comes, a lot of people will come to him and say to him, man, we did all these things in your name. We prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. We did all these things in your name. And he says, hey, get away from me. You didn't really do it for me. I didn't know you at all. Because they didn't move here to here. And they say, this is the distance between heaven and hell. When I just move here, it's about 18 inches. And we need to move what's here into here. It means that I just don't know about him, but now I live for him. That's a heart condition. And I start living for him in every area of my life. You can complain and moan, and we're good at that, aren't we? We do it in church all the time. Well, it's just not spiritual enough for me. I need to do something else. I don't know. I'm just too busy. We've got all kinds of excuses. But where's the heart? Is your heart sold out to the things of God, to the purposes of God, to the plan of God? Are you still dating your old life? We kind of treat it like it's our spiritual Instagram. Yeah, I'm following Jesus, but I'm still scrolling through all the things that, right? We got to be careful because we have a new life in Christ and it must be lived out. Don't fool yourself. Don't let the enemy fool you, thinking that you don't need to live out. You know what Jesus is going to ask you when you see him? The Bible says that it's appointed for each man to die, and woman, by the way. It's appointed for each man to die, and then the judgment. In other words, we will face the Lord. And you know what he's going to ask you? Did you live for me? Did you live for me? Where's the fruit of your life for me? Did you believe in me, and did you live for me? James says that, man, you think you're so cool. That's my paraphrase. You think you're so cool because you know there's a God and you believe there's a God? Good for you. Even the demons believe that and tremble in fear. But as for you, you live for him. That's the difference. Demons don't live for God. You live for God. Because you have a new life. You've been raised to new life. Christ. And not only that, to say in my new life in Christ I trust, we also are hidden with Christ. Hidden with Christ. You know, this last week was pretty eventful in our country. Unless you've been living under a rock, we had a pretty major presidential election. Now, I'm not going to get into the political aspects because that's no place for the pulpit, in my opinion. I've got enough Jesus to preach for all of us. However, you should be part of our country. This is where you live. This is where God puts you. You should vote. To not vote is to say, I don't care. And the Christian should care. The follower of God should care. You should have a part of what's going on in our country. However, this past year, a lot of people have been living in fear. They're afraid if Kamala gets elected. They're afraid if Donald Trump gets elected. And you know, they're just going nuts. And then they're bashing and criticizing and hating the other people and all of those things. And I'm not going to say which party I voted for or what who's better and things like that, but I will say this, that God is the one who brings up leaders and brings them down. That the only reason that Donald Trump was elected president is because God allowed it and willed it to happen. That's the only reason. But in all that fear, that panic about what's going on in the world, really it has no place in the life of the Christian. It has zero place in our life. Because the Bible says that you and I are hidden in Christ. We're protected in Christ. We're surrounded in Christ. We're secure in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. And nothing in this world can touch us because none can pluck us from his hand. To remind you of that, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Here's what it says. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Everyone say no one. No one. Why? Because Jesus was our substitution. He took the condemnation in our place. And when we come to him in faith, we have now no condemnation in Christ Jesus because we have a new life. He says, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We consider it as sheep to be slaughtered. Why? Because the world is against us. No, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am hidden in Christ. So we don't live in fear. The Bible says the spirit God gave you is not one of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Why? Because I have a new mind in Christ Jesus. My old life lived in fear, but my new life lives in peace. Why? Because I serve a Jesus who's got it on lock. Yes. Yes. He's got it under control. Yes. And I don't have to fear those things. Should I participate and be part? Yes. Yes. We're supposed to be the light, the city on a hill. 100% we should be involved. But I'm not involved in fear because I'm hidden in Christ Jesus, and that is the new life he's given us. And when we live our new life in Christ, we are also glorified with Christ. Who here has ever had a loved one die? A loved one die. When you have someone die, it's painful, isn't it? There's a lot of scariness to that in regards to where did they go? Why did God take them? Especially if it's a tragic death. After second service, I prayed for a family whose little boy had died, and they were so concerned about that. And we prayed with them. When we have someone die, it always faces us towards the eternal. And now we always ask the question, what's next? Now, when it comes to those people whom we know who love Jesus and who have given their lives to Jesus, there's a great promise in Scripture. And the promise in Scripture is that one day we will be united with those who also loved Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, I don't know what the state of my loved one was, if they knew Jesus Christ or not. This is where we have peace in God, and we leave it to God because God is always right, even in his judgments. And so we say, God, I'm just relying on your grace, because only he knows the heart. There's this great promise in Scripture about our glory as believers that's not fully experienced in this life, but is in the life to come. And this glory won't totally be revealed until Jesus comes again. And when he comes again, then we'll begin to understand what it really means to have this glory that God has freely given us by his grace. In fact, here's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says about it. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We have hope, because we're in Christ. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And I encourage you with these words. One day, we will be glorified in the Lord. The full glory is now not fully experienced and fully realized. But one day, as we live our current life for the Lord, Jesus is going to come again, and when we're caught up to meet with the Lord and we go to be with him forever, he's going to say, this is what it really looks like. And we're going to experience this full glorification that comes from Christ, because that's really what it means. When we live for Christ right now, we are actually beginning to live for eternity, because your eternity in Christ starts right now. It starts the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, and you live with him until forever.